I don't know. Some pastor says it a lot. Kind of rings in my head a lot. So, you know. How's everybody doing? I started wondering if I was like one of them pastors, like, you know, you're at church and you're like, you're all fired up, come in and hear your regular pastor preach, and then you go, oh, no, it's associate. I wish somebody would have told me. I'm kidding. Really kidding. I don't know. I'd have skipped. Oh, thank you, John. Thank you, buddy. I love John. He's so encouraging. Well, today's message is on the price of following Jesus, being a true disciple. And so what's going on right now in Israel is kind of concerning. I've never really seen this before in my life. Maybe it has happened. I just really hadn't paid attention until now. But the world's changing all around us. Everywhere we look, it's changing. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, things that are happening shouldn't frighten you at all. Right? If you're a non-believer, you're going to be frightened a little bit. And I believe what we're seeing today is unfolding from the Bible. I really do. I believe it's birth pains, just like Jim talked about. I believe we're seeing it. I never thought I would see the end of times in my lifetime, but I'm starting to wonder now. And I'm on up there in age. So, but I think it's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. So be ready. Have your bags packed, because he's coming. But anyway, let's keep praying for the people in Israel, the Middle East, what's going on. Let's pray for peace and blessings over them as we do our prayers every day. So just keep them in your prayers. And changing subjects, I guess, a little bit, is a lot of people just assume that when you attend church on Sunday morning, Saturday night, or whatever night you might go, it's good enough. And I'm not saying you have to be in church every time the door is open, but you should want to have fellowship with your church family every time you can. Your church family is there to encourage you and pray for you. I believe here at Rock Springs Church, we do that. And I heard this from my bug guy yesterday. I mean, the Lord, I get my sermon prepared, and it's like I change it every day. There's probably 6 or 7 sermons just laying around my house. In the floor, I found one in the bed this morning. The dog was laying on it. I says, I hope that's not the original. And it wasn't, thank goodness. Taylor's dog. Yeah, it was blue. No names mentioned. Yeah. But my bug guy told me, we were talking, he's a Christian man, we talk. And he blesses me, and I bless him. But Proverbs 27:11 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we should come to church ready to sharpen one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, right? Amen? We should be walking in the Spirit every day. And you can do that anywhere. You can do it at home. You can do it in your cars. You can do it at school. Did I say workplace? It's kind of hard doing your workplace nowadays, isn't it? That's right. Not for Tanya. But we should be doing it every single day. All right, Tanya, you threw me off. That's all right. But we should be walking in our spiritual lives every single day. Not just when it's convenient or when something bad happens, but every single day of our lives, we should be walking in spirit and truth. Pastor Jim's been preaching on that lately. Spirit and truth. There are no excuses if you're a believer and you say you are a disciple of Jesus. Romans 8:1. I'm going to be skipping around a little bit so y'all can watch this or you can flip with me. I'm going to go quick because we want to beat people to the restaurants, other churches. And the Titans aren't playing today, so there'll be a lot more people out eating. Anyway, I'll leave that one alone. Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. If you're walking in the flesh, you're walking in the world, basically. You're walking what the world offers you. Okay, my daughter's here. Yay. Yay! But I was scrolling through Instagram the other day, and I follow Sadie Robertson. And I stopped to listen to her for a little bit, and she did say one thing that struck me. And I had to actually go back and search it because I wanted to quote it today. It says, you cannot separate your spiritual life from your personal life. You can't. You can't do it. You can't live in the world or live in the spiritual world. It's not going to work. It's not going to blend. Your spiritual life has always got to be what you're living in every single day of your life. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Not once a week, not on Sundays, not on Wednesday nights, Thursday nights. Jesus is saying you must pick it up daily. Not when it's convenient for you, like I said earlier. Not when you find yourself in a bad situation, but daily. You've got to pick your cross up. See, discipleship is a question of allegiance. If our ultimate allegiance is not to Jesus, we are not really his disciples. Right? I almost skipped this part. I don't feel led. Maybe the next time I preach. It's just a story. It's no big deal. Look, what I'm saying too is church is not always necessarily required of you. And I said always necessarily, right? But don't make it unessential in your life. Make it a priority in your life for your family, your church family, most importantly, your spiritual well-being, right? And since my daughter is here, I'm going to use her. I'm sorry I'm calling you out. This is a spiritual lady right here, people. And I'm so blessed. But I remember one time she told me, she says, Daddy, it just don't feel right when you don't go to church on Sunday morning. I just remember her saying that. And it's true. I always felt that way my whole life. There's something missing when I didn't go to church at morning. Always something missing. See, you want to fellowship with one another and encourage one another. And being here in this place today is essential. Church is where you learn to be a disciple and you learn to disciple, right? This is a good place to be a disciple. I mean, most of y'all are good as far as I know. I know most of you. So, but my point is we need to be telling others about Jesus and discipling others. And a lot of times when I come up here and preach, Jim asked me to fill in. Most of the time, I'm talking to myself. A lot of the stuff I talk about, I almost feel guilty telling you guys because I'm thinking, I need to be doing this. So I got to do better. So any opportunity you have that you see somebody that doesn't have Jesus in their life, you need to be discipling them, bringing them up, because we need them today. We need them today more than ever, more than ever. Y'all good? All right, I'm getting there. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that great to know he is with us to the very end? And he's always with us. He's never going to leave your side, ever. All you got to do is, like Jim says, all you got to do is listen for his knock. Let him come in. Set the table with you, right? All right. Matthew 19, 16 through 24. This is a familiar passage, and we may have talked about it in Bible study Thursday night. It's about the rich young ruler. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." I love doing it. "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Has anybody ever seen a camel go through an eye of a needle? I haven't either. I don't think that's what it really means. So I believe there's something more to that that some of you smart fellows probably know. So, and gals. But I didn't research that. So anyway, here lately, I've been talking to a lot of people, and y'all go up and y'all ask somebody, say, "Well, how are you doing?" It says, "Oh man, I'm just busier than ever." Okay, I understand. You got work, you got school, you know, you got your family life, you got church life, you know, just busy, busy, busy. But then I'll go up to a retired person and I'll say, "How's it going?" "Oh, I'm just busy. I think I'm busier now than when I was working." And I'm like, "Really? Well, I don't want to retire then. If I'm going why to retire, you know?" But I started pondering on this a little bit. And, you know, the devil, Satan, is the master of confusion. And I believe he's trying to make us more busier and busier and busier in our daily lives to distract us from our purpose. Don't you? I really do. So we got to take time out for the Lord. We can't let the devil come in. We got to say, "Get behind me, Satan. I am not that busy." We're not that busy to follow Jesus, to get in the Word, to be in prayer, to disciple others. We're not that busy. Because that's what Satan wants right now. I mean, look what's going on in the world. War and rumors of war. That's all you hear. I don't want to be depressing about that, but it's the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. So just take time out. Satan likes to cause chaos. So be ready. He's out there. Because our job as Christians, it also is to help non-believers look to God for answers when all this is going on and help them find peace, be disciples, be followers of Christ, be disciples. Matthew 8, 18 through 20. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus is saying, if you follow me, I'm all you got. Jesus is making it clear he is worthy of your unconditional trust. You may lose everything in this world. You may not have a roof over your head. That's what Jesus is telling him. You still going to come follow me? So I think Jesus was really trying to figure out on these, you know, if they were really wanted to follow him. Do you really truly want to follow me? Because this is what you're going to have to sacrifice all that. There's a dog hair right there. That's okay. I still love you. Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." That's another way of saying he wanted to receive his inheritance, this man, before he committed himself to following Jesus and being a true disciple. Jesus permitted no postponement. Let those who are spiritual dead worry about such things. Come follow me. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. See, in this verse, Jesus is using an over-exaggeration to emphasize the importance of putting him first in our lives. Our love and our devotion to Jesus should be so great that, in comparison, our affection for our families and ourselves seems like hatred. He's not saying to hate your family. He's saying that you should love me more and you should follow me. It should feel that way, that I'm sorry, I'm following Jesus, Mom, I'm gone. Anyway, in Romans 5, 3 through 4, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. You're going to endure all this if you become a true follower of Christ. Jesus reminds us, even in the midst of our pain or suffering, we see God refining us. We are called to endure, knowing that our hope in Christ will not put us to shame. And I had a scripture for that. I think I placed it in the wrong place here. That's what I get for changing my sermon 15 million times. We'll move on, though. Matthew 4, 18, 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. See, I like that part where it says at once. We were talking about this in Bible study Thursday. I was like, guys, y'all got to quit talking because you're stepping on the sermon. But y'all gave me some good stuff when y'all were talking about it. So it's like, Keith, I reference you. You know, it's like these guys were following John the Baptist already. So they kind of knew who Jesus was. So it wasn't like Jesus just came up to them and they said, "Oh, whoa, okay, you are the Messiah, let's go." They already knew. But it's amazing how at once they said, "Okay, I'm following you. I'm giving up whatever I need to give up to follow you." Matthew 4, 21, 22. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat, their father, and followed him. Immediately. Somebody else brought that up. I was like, yes, that's what I was talking about. Immediately they followed him at once. There was no, "Wait a minute, let me go tell my family. Wait, I got something to do Wednesday night. I can't make it. Man, I got work. I got school." Well, you know, the way I look at it, Jesus is, he's not asking you to give up your home, your family, your job, whatever. He's saying, once again, to put him first. He'll take care of all that other stuff. He will take care of that. But at once and immediately they follow him. It's good stuff. All right. The three F's of discipleship. That's an inside joke. Jesus called his disciples to follow him. To follow him, fellowship with him and each other, and lastly, to fish for others. All right, I also found the 7 D's of discipleship. Desire, discernment, decision, discipline, dwelling, dependence, doing. That sounds like an acrostic. Desire is spend time in prayer, the word, and alone time with God. This is very important that we do this. I know I preach this every time I come up here, but you got to get in the word. You got to be in prayer. You got to spend alone time with him. I was driving to work one day a couple weeks ago, and sometimes I get tired of the jibber-jabber, or I get tired of the music. I just turn off the radio. I just listen for silence, listen for the engine humming. And I was going to work, and all of a sudden I heard, it wasn't audible, but I heard God say, I'm going to increase your faith. I was like, okay. He says, no, I want to increase your faith, Wayne. I says, okay, I'm excited. Let's do it. So you got to increase your faith. I got to increase mine. I've got to. You got to increase your faith to be disciples and be true followers of Jesus. Right? But anyway, number 2 is discernment. Be open and listen to God. Tune in to the dial to the Holy Spirit. Decision. Come to a decision you are willing to pick up your cross daily and follow him. Discipline. Walk in spirit and truth. Dwelling. Find your dwelling place in him. Jim preached about dwelling place a few weeks ago. Fellowship with him and others. Dependence. You're totally dependent on God to take care of you and your needs. Amen. Doing. Go out and tell others about the gospel. Go fishing for others. Right? Y'all good? All right. The great German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if y'all have ever read him. He's a very hard read. But I read the whole book. Which one is it? I can't remember. It's a big, thick one. Yeah. Cost of Discipleship. Is that it? It's one that's real, real. It took me like a year. But anyway, it says cheap grace. He was about cheap grace. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without the living. There's a song we sang last Sunday. It's called I Surrender All. And the chorus goes, we all know it. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Are you surrendering all today? If Jesus came to you and said, I need you to surrender something, would you do it to follow him? Would you? I mean, seriously. Would you surrender everything to follow him? Friends, family, your job. I'm ready to quit my job and follow him. Y'all know, yeah, some of y'all I've talked to about it. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this thing. But you can't make that as an excuse. You still got to go out and be a disciple. Life's hard. Life's busy. We all do it every day. It's tough. Believe me, I know. You know. I've heard some of your stories. It's tough. Jesus said it wouldn't be easy. There'd be trouble. Also, are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? I say it every time, but if you know you take your last breath at midnight tonight, Do you know for sure, without a doubt, you're going to spend eternity with him? Do you? You believe it? That's all I got today. They went quicker than did when I rehearsed it. But I hope y'all enjoyed it, and I enjoyed doing it. Like I said, it took me all week to. I couldn't get the word from the Holy Spirit for a while. He wasn't giving me anything, not till like Monday of this past week. I was getting a little concerned. I said, "Why aren't you giving me something, Lord?" And it's probably just because I had to stop. I had a busy week the week before. I just had to stop and listen. And he gave it to me. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Dear Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. Dear Lord, we pray for our church. Dear Lord, thank you for Rock Springs. Dear Lord, we just pray that it'll grow and we'll go out and make disciples and followers of Jesus. Dear Lord, just let us go out into our marketplaces and do that. Lord, we pray for ones that are not here. Jim and Debbie, just be with them. Bring them back to us, Father, safe and sound this week. Dear Lord, we pray for anybody that's struggling, dear Lord, today, that we pray for them. We lift them up, Father, in your name. Dear Lord, just help us go out and be followers of you, disciples for you, and to make disciples, Father, so we can grow the Christian faith, Father, out in the world. Dear Lord, just pray for what's going on in the Middle East. Dear Lord, we pray for peace. We pray blessings over people, Father. And dear Lord, if this is it, Lord, just know that we do have our bags packed and we are ready to receive you and go home with you, Father, and live with you for eternity. We know without a doubt that we'll be with you in heaven, Father. We love you so much. Dear Lord, just be with everyone as we go out through the week, Father, and bless them. Dear Lord, just lift them up. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.